on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family, and Flex Vehicle Management Service from 67 cents a day. Visit flexvs.com.
7 past 9, good morning and welcome to the program. Robbo is a passionate footy fan and writer, but today in the Herald Sun, he is way off the mark. Justin Lepich, says Robbo, manhandled player Zach O'Brien, and probably in a forceful manner, and probably yelled and swore at him. Robbo finds it a joke that Lepich has given a public apology. The coach needed to apologise. He has members, sponsors, club staff, players, parents and families to have confidence in him. And they have to be reassured they don't have a raving red-headed idiot running a $50 million business. A coach can't go manhandling personnel every time something erupts. That's not how the Lions do business. Particularly at a time when the Lions are zipping five and appear to be a basket case after recruiting Dane Beams, Alan Christensen, plus coming back from injury Daniel Rich and Matthew Leuenberger. It gives the impression the coach is not in control with his emotions under the pressures of coaching, and his decision-making ability comes under question. Robbo also says regarding the three Gold Coast players suspended for drinking alcohol that the number one rule for that is don't get caught. No, Robbo, the rule is don't drink. I'm KB. That's my take.
I guess just in that particular moment, the grabbing of the shirt was done in an act that was private, in a way that could have just been done by using words.
Two pretty passionate people that care a lot about the club and things are a little bit heated.
It is a bad look for the club to have one of their coaches manhandling a player. That's why they made him apologise.
Why? This is football. It's a very different environment than the one that we are operating in right now.
But you can't. You can't just annex yourself from the rest of society.
Why not?
Because you can't. Can we do that here at SEN?
You're not in the family land room at the moment, and you're not in the community. You're in the confines of the football club rooms, which is a completely and utterly different community in society. But people are asking coaches and all that to act outside while you're inside. I find that incredulous.
We thought it was crucial in ensuring that we support our standards and the leading of our player leadership group, because they were pretty firm in that we needed to make a stand with a few players and their behaviour, and the decision wasn't a hard one.
942-9-1116 is our famous talkback number, 0433-98-1116. If you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29 or Hungry for Sport. Do you think Justin Lepich needed to apologise? Robbo says today in the Herald Sun, it's a joke. Certainly I believe he needed to apologise for the reasons I gave in my take. Give us your thoughts. And also on the Gold Coast Suns players, don't get caught, says Robbo. I think the number one rule is don't drink. Give us your thoughts on that. Stephen May also got 3 weeks last night, got his just desserts. So I'm surprised so many in the community, football coaches, former players, people in the media, just don't get it. Don't hit people in the head. 9429-1116. Coming up is The Buzz. Johnny Ralph is going to join us, taking your calls. Ian Robson joins us today, Victory CEO. Got the big final coming up against City. Sean Graff, lots to talk about in Victorian cricket. Get something off your chest. And Brian Waldron, the business of sport. But coming up, The Buzz.
Well, I'm a king bee, baby. Want you to be my queen. Together we can make honey.
On Hungry for Sport, John Ralph.
Get on to Johnny Ralph.
That's what we do all the time. Jeffy, g'day, Buzz.
Hello. Stop picking on my chief football writer, Robbo. He's got bold and passionate opinions, and that's why we love him.
That's why I've given my opinion.
Okay.
I think he's way, way off the mark today, Robbo. Well, way off the mark.
I'll tell you what we do know is that the Lions are a shambles.
Is he off the mark? 9429-1116.
Look, I don't think anyone comes out of the incident well. Leper is passionate and he's forceful and he's reactive, yes. But I think you're right, and you cannot manhandle anyone in football these days, in society these days. If you're a leader looking down on someone else like that, or literally looking up as he was with Zach O'Brien, I still don't think you can grab someone's jumper. We saw with Nathan Buckley, he grabbed Jared Witz's jumper last year, and he came out subsequently and said, look, that's not acceptable. But I was just as disturbed with Zach O'Brien. Three times he's told to come off the ground in an EFL game. He just refuses. And then finally he gets on to the coach, and he tells him to nick off, a colloquialism. Mm-hmm. And then he stands over his coach and intimidates him. I mean, what is this bloke talking about? That's why the Brisbane Lions are a shambles. Queensland football is a shambles. Mm-hmm. If I was Gold Coast, I would trade Harley Bunnell. How many times can you give a bloke a warning? Yes, he's got talent, but this club will go nowhere while you've got people like Trent McKenzie and Matera and Bunnell who think they run the ship. Look, there's tough love up there. And the disturbing thing is not that there was tough love at the start of the summer, because sometimes as a coach you need that. You come into a club, you try and wipe the slate clean. Yet 6 months on, These blokes are still ignoring what Rocketed are saying, ignoring what the leadership his group is saying. There is something deeply wrong in Queensland football. I'd be no wonder Gillon McLachlan's calling up both of those clubs.
Well, of course, if you've got the ultimate power as a coach, when someone refuses to come off the ground or refuses to go to training or refuses to take any instructions, well, you sack them. That's what you do. You say, see me on Monday morning, and look, the leadership squad's there, and we've had a chat with the coaches, and you're sacked. You're not wanted at the club.
Well, we're not.
So that's the ultimate power. I mean, if Robbo writes a story that Peter Blunden doesn't like, if Peter Blunden came down and grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and threw him against the wall and said, I don't like that story, I don't think Robbo would appreciate that. I don't think that's the way that management would treat their staff.
Well, I agree that football clubs in some ways are different to normal workplace environments. Like, how many times in your workplace have you had 360-degree feedback where you are just skewered by your workmates? Tony Shebeki comes in and says, this is something you're doing wrong. So I agree that there are, you know, certain ways in which football clubs are different. But I don't think that extends.
Not physical.
I don't think that extends to physical issues. Now, what Nathan Buckley did last year with Jared Witts.
But he had to apologise. Surely.
No, I agree with you.
Ask our listeners. Yep. Robbo says he didn't need to apologise. It's a joke. Now, I'd like to ask the listeners. He has to apologise. He's got so many people up in Queensland. And today, Greg Denham's got a big story in the Australian today saying that the AFL fears Queensland is a state of disarray. So you've got members, you've got supporters, as I said in my take. You've got sponsors out there. You've got families. You've got mums and dads whose kids are going to be drafted to Brisbane. And you don't want to be reading about the coach grabbing people by the scruff of the neck, throwing them against a wall.
And that's why he needs to apologise.
That's what I'm saying. He had to do that.
The perception is horrible. If you were a soccer fan yesterday, or David Galloping with his 20-year plan, you'd be so thrilled. Because what's happened in the last 10 days with the AFL? Well, we've seen a coach grabbing someone. We've seen another coach bashing someone, you know, however you want to describe that. We've seen players telling their coaches to get nicked. We've seen players bashing other players with elbows to the head, smacking them as Jordan Lewis did. It's been a pretty horrible 10 days for the AFL. And so if you're a soccer mum, well, I think you'd be saying, let's get my kid into soccer, because the AFL's not going too flush at the moment.
Some of the messages coming through saying, you said not to hit people in the head. Why is there not being more made of Lewis hit on Goldstein then? Surely Lewis should have been handed a tougher penalty. You see, last night I tweeted that I am surprised. In fact, I find it mind-boggling that people, former coach Nathan Buckley, who's very, very sensible, you know, tried to make excuses for Stephen May yesterday on Morning Glory. We hear, you know, people in the media, former players, Cam Mooney trying to make excuses on Daniel Harford's program. Rodney Eade says people from the media saying, mate, you've got to challenge this. They just don't get it. Now, that's why I tweeted last night, you know, why don't people get it? Stephen May deserved his 3 weeks. Now, in the case of Lewis and Hodge, we all knew they were guilty. No one was disagreeing that they were guilty. You may disagree with the penalty, whether it should be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or life. You can argue about that. But everyone said they were guilty. In the case of Stephen May, there was people saying he was not guilty.
The reason the AFL...
Not guilty. That's the problem with our football community, because what we've got, Buzz, is that, and I said it yesterday, you know, we show great concerns about head injuries and we talk about it in hushed tones. You'll write stories about it. Robbo will write stories about it. It'll be on TV, it'll be on 360, all the football shows. And, you know, Greg Williams can't remember winning 2 Brownlow medals. This is an absolute disgrace. We talk about it, but when someone goes bang and puts someone in an ambulance and sends them to hospital, we try and make excuses.
I hate to agree with you, but Nathan Buckley said on radio yesterday, that's the copybook defence. If you're a defender,
well,
you take out the player and then you go for them. So is Buck saying that the copybook defence as a defender is to concuss a bloke and potentially break his jaw? Look, I couldn't agree with that. I think the problem is that AFL fans look and they say, hang on, this bloke got 3 weeks and Jordan Lewis got 2.
You can argue that.
So I think what the AFL should have done is send Jordan Lewis to the tribunal. If you look at that incident, the ball is coming in, he goes to spoil. But actually, if you look at it 2 or 3 times, the ball was coming in a different angle. He never once looked at the ball. His fists were actually down by his side as Goldstein was going to mark the ball. And then he marked the ball, he raised them, and he smacked him in the head. I thought that should have been deliberate. And so,
well, I said that yesterday myself.
And so if that's intentional and it's high contact, he goes to the tribunal. He probably gets 3 or 4 weeks. And then the base level for May is 2 weeks. And so you're saying to yourself, I can actually understand that comparison. And yet they let Jordan Lewis off lightly. They probably should have given Hodge 4 weeks. I mean, an elbow to the head. I mean, an elbow to the head in the worst situation, that can result in a, in a, you know, the disaster that we saw in cricket. And so I reckon they let the Hawthorn boys off lightly. And then it lets people have their say, oh, I can't believe May got three and Jordan Lewis got two. If you deal with the Hawthorn thuggish behaviour correctly, well, May's okay. May hit a bloke in the head. The contact was enough to cause a concussion. He deserves to go. And people would say, what could he have done? You know what Easton Wood did in the last 5 seconds? There was two Sydney defenders bearing down on him. He grabbed the ball. He squeezed out a little handball. He made the ball his prime objective. People say, oh, well, what could May have done? Slid in, taken...
No,
you know,
go
what?
For the ball. Go for the ball. That's what Stephen May could have done. If he wanted to, you know, he could have even put his left arm out against Tommy Rockliffe if he wanted to. People say, oh, he's... I mean, Cam Mooney's saying, look, he's 6'4", you know, he's got to hit him in the head. Well, if that's the case, Sandland takes out an entire team this weekend. Put out your hand, shepherd him, lay your body on him, but go for the ball. Now, if he goes for the ball, got his hands out going for the ball, and his shoulder hits Rockliffe, there's no case to answer for
him.
Because he's actually going for the ball. That will be called accidental.
Now, you know what
we've got to ask the fans is, do they believe the AFL's penalties are too light then, if that's the case? What would the fans think that Jordan Lewis should have got as a penalty? What do they think Luke Hodge should have got as a penalty? Stephen May should have got as a penalty? Because one's got two, and the other two have got three.
Well, here's my ruling. The AFL should have given Luke Hodge 4 weeks, clearly worse than Chris Yaron, and they should have given, at the tribunal, they should have referred Lewis to the tribunal, given him 3 weeks, should have referred to it as intentional. And then when May gets his 2 weeks, well, he chooses to actually elevate that because he goes to the tribunal and gets three in the end. But if it's 4, 3, and 2, well, the comparison is much better. You know what would happen last year? The tribunal would have given Lewis one. So the tribunal has done a lot. Oh, sorry, the judiciary. They've done a lot better than they have last year. Because last year they would have just ticked the boxes. This time around they said, hang on, we're going to elevate that because we think it had the potential to cause serious injury. Look, they've improved it. They certainly haven't fixed it yet.
So therefore you're suggesting maybe it's just lip service also by the AFL at the moment, who, you know, again speaking hushed tones and concerned about head injuries, yet when it comes to people being whacked in the head, the penalties are no longer strong enough to back up their concerns that they tell us.
Well, we're still in we're still in the dark ages if we think that was a perfect tackle. If the perfect tackle results in a player being concussed, well, we've got a problem with the AFL.
Why is it, therefore, that someone as sensible as Nathan Buckley would say that on Morning Glory?
Maybe because they've seen what's happened with the changes to that rule. And the changes to the rule now mean that if you hit someone in the head, you're not absolutely always responsible. You know, sometimes if it was a pure collision, sometimes... But that
was the same as the old rule, by the way.
No, the rule has changed. The rule has changed. So silly incidents like the one with Boomer Harvey, where he basically braced himself and yet he still got Selwood in the head. That last year meant under every circumstance you got suspended. Now there's a bit of wiggle room.
No, but,
that wiggle room doesn't mean you can smack a bloke in the head, he gets concussed, maybe breaks his jaw. That's not the wiggle room we're after.
Now, we saw with Jack Viney in that incident in Adelaide where a pack came at him and he was virtually standing there and sort of braced himself in anticipation was going to be crunched, and he got off that. Yeah. So we all understand that, but surely the football public's got to come to terms, and coaches and media commentators and former players have got to come to terms with the fact that if you can go for the ball and you elect not to go for the ball and you elect to bump somebody and you knock him out cold and send him to hospital, then you're going to be suspended. It's not hard, is it?
I've never said this before, Kevin, but you might be a smart man.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get your thoughts.
On 11.16 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family, and Flex Vehicle Management Service from 67 cents a day. Visit flexvs.com.
It's a tough one, and we're obviously really disappointed with the decision. We respect the tribunal's call, but ultimately we thought Stephen executed a perfect bump, and the way he contested the footy is the way our coaches coach all of our players, is to get themselves between their opponent and the ball. So unfortunately the tribunal didn't set that way, and he made head high contact, which is obviously one of the things the AFL are really protective of.
Well, gibberish of the week, I'm certain he's a contender for that, is Marcus Ashcroft. You know, sometimes when you're trying to defend your club, you know, sometimes the best thing to do is come out and say, you know what, our player did the wrong thing. Like Luke Hodge, straight away, he has said, I did the wrong thing. I jumped up, I've hit him with a forearm, I've hit him in the head, I feel very sorry about that. I don't want to play football like that. I'm in the wrong. You know, that's what Marcus Ashcroft and the Gold Coast Suns should be saying. Stephen May did a stupid thing.
Yeah, look,
you can't say look, executed a perfect bump, then say he hit him in the
head. But Kevin, you go so far one
that
way.
Is rubbish.
Did he deserve to be suspended? Yes, he did because he caused the contact. But was it a stupid thing? Was there some shade of grey about it? Of course,
Stephen
there was.
May.
Well, he tried to take the bloke out.
There was no shade of grey about Stephen May at all. We'll take calls anyway. And also, can I ask you this? Fans have been upset about Jordan Lewis.
Yep.
Brad Sewell, mm-hmm. his teammate of last year. Sits on the match review panel. Did he sit on the judgment of Jordan Lewis during the week?
I think Sewell and Ball and Michael Christian and Burke are the match review panel. So I think they sit on all incidents.
Is that a concern? I mean, do fans think, here's Brad Sewell, he's played football with this guy for the last 10 years or so, and he sits on the match review panel, and his close mate, let's say, teammate, premiership player, is up on a charge. Are people comfortable with that?
I'm comfortable with it. I believe.
I'm not comfortable with it.
Well,
I'll tell you that now. I'm not comfortable with it.
So who else would we get? Just some bloke off the street? Because if we get
premiership
players,
if he sat on it,
yep.
He should not have sat on that tribunal.
So he
would have to excuse himself.
If we remove all conflicts from football, there isn't anyone that's doing anything in football. No. If we believe in the integrity of Brad Sewell, and I believe we all do, surely he can remove himself from the Hawthorn situation. Look,
been out of the game 10 years, and he played for Hawthorn 10 years ago, and there's Hawthorn bloke up, I think you could say he'd be removed. He should be in that position in that period of time to make, you know, good decisions. But I think when you've just finished playing with this guy 6 months ago and then you're sitting in judgment on him, I would think that most people would feel uncomfortable that you would come up with a decision that may not be biased.
Well, they made a heck of a better decision than the match review panel would have last year. Last year, it was, Mark Fraser and Joel Bowden and all those blokes. And you know what they were? They were so bloody officious that all they did was tick the box. Okay. At least what this match review panel did is they ticked the box. And then they said to themselves, it doesn't really work, so we're going to elevate one of those to intentional and one of those to high. They should have gone further, but they made a much better fist of it than Mark Fraser and co did. So what should they do? So he should.
I don't think Brad Sewell should not have sat on that one.
So what happens with St Kilda? What happens with St Kilda when Nathan Burke has been a board member of St Kilda last year? Luke Ball has been a player at St Kilda and a captain at St Kilda. What do they do? They remove themselves from almost every situation.
Well, if you want to take away perceived bias or conflict,
so who do you make? That's the match review panel, Kevin. Who you just sit on it, Kevin, another committee. Every bloke who they want as a former player who has expertise and knows that situation has played for a footy club.
You've got to be, there's got to be a...
So you may get a 1970s bloke.
You've got to be removed, though. You've got
How?
To be removed.
How?
Well, there's plenty of people out there who's removed from Hawthorn.
What, the bloke in the street, the bloke who sells you your newspaper?
No, there's plenty
of people.
The
bloke in the milk bar.
Plenty of people who are removed from Hawthorn. How many people they got on the AFL books? Blackie's from Plenty. G'day, Blackie.
Morning, guys. How you going?
I'm going great.
I didn't see the incident. I didn't watch the game, but I watched it last night after all the fuss over the last couple of days. This is the May incident.
And okay.
I'm like you, Kevin. If you bump and hit someone in the head, I've got no problem being suspended. The only thing is, having looked at the May one, I don't reckon he hits him in the head. I reckon he hits him flush at the top of his... chest just below his neck, and I reckon where he gets concussed is when Rockliffe hits the ground. You can actually see it. His head, his body hits the ground, and his head follows afterwards and whacks the ground. So I'm like you, Kev, if he hit him in the head, suspend him. But I reckon he's unlucky because I honestly think he didn't hit him in the head. I reckon he got him flush on the chest. And so I think it was a perfect tackle. And Ralphie, I don't think you can say just because someone initiates contact and then someone gets concussed, you suspend them. What happens in a marking contest?
Yeah, but this is him choosing to bump someone. I mean, Kevin's making him out to be the Boston Strangler. I would say that he made contact with him, he became concussed, and so in that situation, you deserve to be
Blackie,
responsible
I'm not quite
for
certain,
it.
You know, the ability to slow things down and look at vision from all sorts of angles, but there's no doubt he's top of his shoulder, clipped him right in the chin.
I can't believe that you think Brad Sewell hasn't got the integrity to remove himself from that situation.
I'm saying I'm not comfortable with it, and I don't think football fans would be as well.
So, well, should we get people from the 70s? Well, I think we've done that before, and it doesn't necessarily work.
No, you don't have to do that.
Should
Johnny's
we get
on the
lawyers
road.
In? Should we...
someone where there's the perception that there's not a conflict. Johnny's on the road. G'day, John.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Look, firstly, I agree that May deserved to get Weeks because he hit him high. But I will contest the thing where you said he had a different option, because if you look at, and I think this is what Buckley was saying, is that as they were both running in, if they'd both gone straight for the ball, Rockliffe had the opportunity to kick the ball off the ground, which he was going to do.
Well, so be it. So be it.
But May didn't, because if May kicked it off the ground, it would have gone out of bounds, would have been deliberate. So he was basically protecting that space so that he was saving a goal. That being said, he'd executed the buck poorly, and I think he deserved Weeks. But I think it's two different things.
No, but I mean, if he wants to protect that space and hits him in the head, what I'm saying is he's got to be suspended for it. Yeah, I mean, Nathan indicated that, you know, he did the perfect thing as a defender, and he said he hopes that was taken into account. Well, you can't take that into account when he bumps him in the head and sends him off in an ambulance to hospital.
Couldn't he have picked the ball up and tried to wheel away? Or couldn't he have tapped the ball towards the boundary, as
could have
you
done
see
lots
Harry
of
Taylor or any
lots
of those blokes do? Like, to say that he only had one option and that was to smack a bloke and concuss him, that just doesn't bear up with any reality.
And look, sometimes... there's not much you can do about what the opposition is doing. It's like Goldstein the other night. He's taking a mark. Now, you'd love to be another metre closer so you can jump up and spoil it. But unfortunately for Jordan Lewis, he's back several metres. So he's just got to take the mark. You can't just then jump up and whack him in the head because you get suspended. Yep. So he'd love to spoil that mark of Goldstein's, but what he's got to do is run up and stand on the mark. That's what he's got to do because he can't stop him. We'll take a break.
The Run Home with David Schwartz and Mark Allen.
Our voice from Sydney, Rebecca Wilson, told us one of Melbourne Storm's very own is in line to coach our National Rugby League side.
Craig Bellamy is definitely one of the top two front runners for the Australian coaching job. And, you know, a lot of people have talked about how the ageing Australian team and the changing of the guard, and you've got to get people out of the game like Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk. And if that's not the problem. The problem is that the team was not coached.
We'll catch from four with Nick Maxwell and Melbourne CEO Peter Jackson for the Wednesday Crunch, plus Lee Patch and Captain Not-So-Obvious Scott Lucas.
The Run Home. Spoil yourself at a Hyundai with a little luxury this end of financial year and community training initiatives. Need a builder's licence? For free information sessions, visit ctibuild.com.au. 4 to 7 weekdays on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
If someone in your workplace had an accident, would you know what to do? Would anyone know what to do? First aid saves lives, so the right training and equipment is vital for your workplace. Australian First Aid offers leading-edge training and first aid equipment, from the basics of CPR to specialised childcare courses, fire safety and more. Australian First Aid. Solutions to save lives. Go to australianfirstaid.com.au.
Take a concoction of onions, red lead and honey. Another wacky remedy to prevent hair loss that's hard to swallow. Male pattern hair loss is a medical condition, so you should discuss your options with a doctor. The specialist doctors at the Knudsen Clinic can diagnose the cause of your hair loss and recommend proven and approved medical treatments. If the wacky remedy sounds worse than the problem, get a medical opinion from the Knudsen Clinic. Visit knudsen.com.au or call 1-800-685-399.
Think quick and pick up end of financial year deals at Mazda. BT50 4x4 Dual Cab XT, up to 3.5 tonne towing from only $39,990 drive away. End of financial year deals end soon at your local Mazda dealer.
Investing in property? Lots of Australians want to do it. Many know they should. But for some reason, only the minority of us actually start doing it. Hi, I'm David Brewster from Buy Property Direct. Investing in property has a number of benefits to everyday Australians, and it's important you're given the right advice and guidance along the way. That's where Buy Property Direct is different. We tailor a plan to your personal goals that won't sacrifice your current lifestyle. To get started, book an appointment today. Go to buypropertydirect.com.au.
Want more bang for your buck? How does a McDonald's value lunch sound? With any wrap, a refreshing drink and Byron Bay cookies or small fries for only $8.95. That's a wrap, drink and yummy treat for $8.95. Available weekdays 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. for a limited time. Includes choice of bottled water or small soft drink.
Sports Central for Chisholm Online. 7 day a week student support.
It is 27-10. Good morning, I'm Matt Granlund. Brisbane coach Justin Lepich has apologised after having a physical altercation with rookie Zach O'Brien. Lepich grabbed O'Brien by the jumper after the player swore at Neefel coach Shane Wywoten during a match. Lepich has told Fox Footy he wanted O'Brien to show his coach more respect, but crossed the line when he grabbed him on the jumper.
I guess just in that particular moment, the grabbing of the shirt was done. I guess in an act could have just been done by using words. And that's really the point. It really, from my end, is that's, and I spoke to the players on Monday, I apologised to the group, and that, you know, that's the way. I don't want to coach, and I don't want to be perceived either as a coach.
Still in football, the Gold Coast Suns are considering an appeal this morning after defender Stephen May was suspended for 3 weeks for his bump on Brisbane skipper Tom Rockliffe. The tribunal decided that May could have contested the ball instead of bumping, and that is why he was penalised. Dante Exum admits it took a while for him to get used to the cut and thrust of playing in the NBA. The 19-year-old became a regular starter for the Utah Jazz after being drafted as the number 5 pick last year. His season is now over, and Exum has told SEN's Morning Glory he enjoyed stepping up to the top level.
You know, I think it's just the pace of the game, and also the physicality. Guys are a lot stronger, guys and men. And I'm only used to playing people my age. So.
And Juventus has edged ahead of Real Madrid in their Champions League semi-final. A 2-1 first league win this morning. The winner coming courtesy of a Carlos Tevez penalty.
Sports Central for Chisholm Online. Press start on a new career.
In the news coming up at 10 o'clock, a working smoke alarm saves the lives of an elderly couple and fears for an Australian trekker in Nepal. SEM weather, a shower or two today. We're heading for a top of 17. Right now it's 13 degrees. And the footy continues. News Friday night from 6 with Collingwood and Geelong from the MCG on 1116 SEN.
Terry White Chemist Mother's Day sale is on now. You'll find Vera Wang Princess EDT Spray 100ml, only $35. Head into your local Terry White Chemist store today.
On 1116 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family, and Flex Vehicle Management Service from 67 cents a day. Visit flexvs.com.
And of course, the buzz is always brought to you by Eco Garage Stores. Now, they've got a special for the month of May at Eco Garage Stores. They'll be donating $200, that's right, $200 from every insulated garage door sold to your nominated sporting club or charity. Now, we all have a charity close to our hearts or local sporting club, so it's your choice, and Eco will send $200 on your behalf. So give Eco a call for a free quote on 9703-1500, that's 9703-1500, or go online at www.ecogaragestores.com.au to see their exclusive garage door profiles and super smooth motors. Now, the buzz has joined us. Let's take Terry from West Meadows. G'day, Terry.
G'day, Kev. Look, I'm a neutral supporter as far as Hawthorn and North Melbourne goes, but I was thinking after those two incidents, the only side that was disadvantaged by Luke Hodge and Jordan Lewis's actions was North Melbourne. It was left with two players running around with sore heads for most of the game. And the clubs that are going to be advantaged by the two players being suspended are the sides that Hawthorn plays in the next 3 weeks. So perhaps it's time for the tribunal to be given the option to also suspend those two guys from the next time they play North Melbourne. Then North Melbourne actually gets something out of the disadvantage they had during that game.
What happens, Terry, if they play North Melbourne in the second round and someone's out injured with the flu or got a rolled ankle? What happens then?
Or if the next time they play them is a final?
Well, the next time they play him is at another club.
Yeah. Look,
I don't know about that, Terry. I think that's very difficult.
Yeah, and you talk about Brad Sewell and his integrity. Look, I absolutely
defend... I'm not questioning his integrity. Yes. I'm talking about the perception of fans out there with your best mate. You've been hugging and kissing each other after winning premierships. And then a few months later, you're sitting on a panel and you're giving a decision on your best mate premiership play.
And that's why he needs to use his insight to know, well... Jordan Lewis, was he going for the ball? No, that's intentional. No. So, again, I defend their integrity, but they need to make the right decision about that.
The perception there is a strong conflict of interest.
Can I talk to you about Tom Boyd?
Yes.
I've written in today's paper about the gift of the grab, as the headline talks about it. Everyone smashed Tom Boyd for the first couple of weeks. Everyone said, this bloke's no good. How are they paying him $1 million a year? Yes, he's wildly overpaid. We understand that. But I think he's been massive in the last 3 weeks against Lake, the All-Australian, and Norm Smith medalist, against an All-Australian in Talia, and against Heath Grund. He's kicked 7 goals. I reckon he's got the better of that Griffin deal. I mean, there's some really good win-win trades. Griffin will be a win-win because we know that he's got to play better. But you talk about Richmond again. Should they have been bolder? Well, the clubs that have been really bold, you know, the Mitch Clark, Travis Varko, Heredia, Lumumba trade, I mean, that has been exceptional for all three parties. I know people have smashed Brisbane, but Beams has been really good there. He's averaged 28 touches. Yes, he hasn't kicked a heap of goals because they've been running back against the flow. Jack Crisp has been great. We know that Dugui is the pick 5 from that. We know that Greenwood's the pick 25. I reckon a lot of these clubs that have been very bold have absolutely had trades that have paid off in spades. A lot of us smashed Tom Boyd early. Maybe it's time for us to start apologising to the Bulldogs, because that is a very good structural trade for them. He might not be a superstar yet, but Cramery gets off the chain, Strian gets off the chain. I reckon Boyd is coming along very nicely.
Well, Tom Boyd, if you want to give someone a pat on the back, 9429 1116. Carlton Football Club have just announced Sam Doherty. It has put pen to paper and has inked a new 3-year deal, ensuring that he remains with the Blues until at least the end of 2018. So good news there for the Blues, because he's one player who can play.
No doubt. And look, they made a bold trade. They got him in for about, pick, what was it, 28 or 29 in the end. Super trade. What do they do with their ruckman, Kevin, this week? So they brought Wood in. Wood was already in. They brought Warnock in. Warnock sort of rolled around. Didn't do a heck
Cruiser
of a
ready
lot.
To play?
No, he's going to play in the VFL this week, so maybe he's 2 or 3 weeks away.
Who do they keep out of those three for next year?
I think the Cruiser's the only one who's capable of playing good AFL standard football. I know that Wood has just tried his guts out. You know, he kicked a goal early against Collingwood. But if you're playing Cameron Wood as your first ruckman, you're not going to win a heck of a lot of games. If you're playing Robbie Warnock as your first ruckman, you get nothing out of him around the ground. You can't win a lot of AFL games. So that's the conundrum for him. They wouldn't get anything for Warnock or Wood. Cruz is continually beaten up. Hampson they've given away, and he's getting 1 million hit-outs in the VFL for Richmond, but he's not playing AFL. I gave up Jacobs, and Jacobs is an All-Australian. I don't know what they do, and that's what that's the conundrum for Sauce across the board. With
so is there going to be a lot of trading by Carlton come the end? Well, they hope to trade players.
Well, they hope to trade players, but they also need 5 picks. So what do they do? If it was me, I'd trade Bryce Gibbs. Some people have said you trade Mark Murphy. I just can't see that you trade your captain.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yes, Griffin walked out, but Griffin was already going, and so they made the best of a bad lot at the Bulldogs. Lee Colbert left. But I can't. Have there been other captains that have walked away, apart from Chris Judd? I mean, I just can't see you trading your captain. Would you trade Chris Yaron? How much would you get for him? I'm not sure. I just think Gibbs is the one who's on a 4-year deal, like paying him a heck of a lot of money. He doesn't seem like he wants to be there right now. He probably wants to be at a good club. I think that Gibbs deal makes a heck of a lot of sense for Gibbs and for Carlton.
So what, you're looking at Port Adelaide or Adelaide being the suitors?
Well, look at Adelaide. They give away their first pick for him. He gets back home. Yeah, he's probably happy at Carlton at the moment in terms of his living situation. But look, on field, he doesn't show that he wants to be there. Yeah, I'd give away Bryce Gibbs.
Give us your thoughts, 9429 1116. Shane is in North Fitzroy. G'day, Shane.
G'day, KB. G'day, Buzz.
G'day, Shane.
KB, you've just put up a nomination for perhaps gibberish of the year.
Yes, and stop picking on Robbo too.
Yeah, I mean, KB.
Yes, Shane.
If I, as a father of my son who plays football,
yes,
I want my coach, if my son is going to mouth off to the coach and swear at him, I want the coach to give him a clip around the ear, because he's showing the height of disrespect to his elders. Now, whether or not he's in the wrong or the right, that's beside the point. You don't sit there.
But it is the point, don't you think?
No, because you can't just go and swear and mouth off just because you don't agree with the decision. You've just got to, as a player, you've got to suck it up, because, as you know, KB, discipline and respect for your teammates and for your peers is going to win you premierships. Yes,
but they've got other ways of discipline. a player. I mean, they can fine that player. They can stand him down. They can sack that player if they want to.
I think they went light on him. I think they should have given him a month penalty. He played in the AFL for a month because I thought it was disgraceful what he did. It doesn't condone what the coach did back to him.
Brisbane coach Justin Lepich has escaped sanctions for manhandling rookie Zach O'Brien but has been warned by the Lions management to contain his temper. So, Terry, I think even the Lions management have obviously said to Justin, this is not good enough. You just can't do that. And as I said in my take today, it's a very poor image for families. You're a little bit different, Shane, that you want your son to be, you know, clipped under the ear or over the ear. I don't know whether there's too many other parents out there would think that's the right way to approach a young man.
Just quickly off the SMS, someone said that Sean Higgins was traded away and they got the pick at the Western Bulldogs for Lucas Webb. I didn't realise that. That's a
very good player, Lucas
Webb. Oh, poise. He just seems superb. Getting a Rising Star nom in a couple of weeks, as the text message suggests. I found one there. We all smashed them over the off-season about their training. I found one in Lucas Webb.
9429 11 16. We're coming back with the buzz and your calls.
On Hungry for Sports, which magical moment caught your attention over the weekend? Find out if it made Ralphie's buzzer beater.
Yes, what was your buzzer beater on the weekend, 9429 11 16? Because the buzz will tell us what beat the buzzer.
I wouldn't say I'm in good form given my prediction of last week, but my buzzer beater has to be the Western Bulldogs and specifically Easton Wood. Three or four Sydney defenders bearing down on him. It's wet. He just scoops the ball up with one hand. He ferrets that little handball out. Boyd kicks it to the sidelines. Euphoria. I'm not sure if we've got that. We have. We've got the audio.
Boyd was a tackler. Taken away by Dalhouse. Quick snap. It's bouncing. Bouncing. And then Easton Wood, as he kicked it out of midair. I think he has.
They've got 20 seconds. He's going to kick the ball long. The race is on. The ball's skidding inside 50. They're all running hard. Easton Wood. Can he have clean hands? Picks it up with a little give. The Bulldogs well have done well. They got involved. Johannesson kicked off the ground. It's all over. The Doggies have won at the SCG. What a win for the ages for the Dogs.
Now, the setback is that last week I predicted that Carlton would get, at one stage, would be three or four goals up on Collingwood. How did that go?
No, not very good, Buzz. Not very good at all. In fact, what was disappointing about Carlton was that after half time, when you thought, you know, they'd regroup and be disappointed with their first half performance, and, you know, particularly with the situation with Mick as well, that they'd come out and fire a few shots, but they came out and they were just as worse in the second half as they were in the first.
You're right. Now, the problem is I've already jumped the gun. My prediction was that Bryce Gibbs would be traded at the end of the year. So, look, I just think that when you're looking at risk-reward, you can't trade your captain. Would Yarram get you enough? What do you think that Gibbs would get? You'd get a first-round pick, wouldn't you? They probably have. I don't know.
I'd get a first-round pick for Bryce Gibbs. He won their best and fairest last year.
Yeah, they might have pick 2, 20, you know, whether you get a mid-teens for him. It's a pretty good starting point. Maybe you take Soss's son as a father-son, if you could try and get 5 picks within 50. So, yeah, I reckon that'll happen. I was going to predict Mick Malthouse. Can he last out the year? Like, of course, so many other things have been swirling around in the background. We've sort of given Mick a break, as we should have, for the last few days. But if they were 2-10, would Mick continue to coach them out? I mean, you've played.
Well, he wouldn't throw in the sponge himself. That would be up to the club. I'm pretty certain that Mick would be determined to coach Carlton right through to the end of the year.
So if they said to Mick, look, we're 2-10, we've had to think about it. We as a board have decided that you won't go on, but we're going to give you the respect to tell you early. You reckon that Mick would continue to coach the club all the way through?
I think he would. I think he would.
Yeah. And look, it's been done well before. I know Schwabe said, look, I just can't do this. He tried to be the coach for one more year after being told that he would be sacked, one more game rather. But I think Tony Shaw did it well, didn't he? He held his head up. He said, I'm going to play the kids. I'm going to try and set this club up. And so, yeah, maybe there is a precedent for that. I'd be fascinated to see what happens.
Chris joins us in Blair Gary. Good day, Chris.
Yeah, hi, Kevin. Look, I'm just bringing in, I'm in full agreement with everything you've said this morning. And what I don't understand is why the media, and Ralphie or Buzz, you know, you're talking about Robbo's article. The AFL, the article, the media, players, all the people ringing in need to come to grips with one thing, that the AFL is there to foster and set an example for all footballers in the land. And everything that goes on has to set that example. And if we're going to condone a coach scragging at players or a bloke lifting his elbow and getting 2 weeks, it's crap. We're just never going to get anywhere. And people don't understand it because there's too much testosterone involved.
But it's a good point. You've got to, the AFL does set the standard, and let's face it, what you say is true. And what people, you know, see in the AFL are mimicked in other grades of football.
Well, Robbo's absolutely entitled to have his opinion. I mean, maybe he came to that opinion because there were people out there that were saying, well, the AFL should step in and should Leppich be stood down and etc. I think the way that it was handled was appropriate. Leppich apologised, the player himself apologised. I'm sure the AFL would have consulted to see whether the player was grabbed by the neck and thrust up against the wall. You know, there is a difference between that and dragging him down by the jumper.
Mm. Well, I think even that is unacceptable. We probably never know the true story there, but obviously there's been some altercation.
No, well, Brisbane put up a nice fluffy website video where the player himself was asked, gee, are you disappointed in the media? You know, this has come out. God, wasn't this done and dusted? Give us a spell. That's total gibberish. Mm. The player and the coach should have apologised, and they did.
Greg is in Geelong. G'day, Greg.
How are you, boys? Look, I'm ringing up. I've had a son that's grown up now, and then later on we had another son. So he played under-16s about 15 years ago for the same club my youngest does now. And in the under-16s football, I think someone from the AFL needs to come and watch these kids. They go in so hard, and, you know, there's head-high tackles and there's this. And the umpire we had on the weekend would have been about 70 not out. So the kids know that, you know, the umpiring's not the best. And what Chris was talking about earlier about, you know, the AFL need to step in to see what's happening around the country leagues and that, because, it's just not good enough. And in turn, we used to have, back when my eldest son was playing, we had, like, four under-16 teams. This year, we've only got one, and most of my son's friends are playing soccer because the parents just don't like the roughness of it.
Well, look, we hear all the time about, you know, some, you know, localities struggling to field teams, and particularly in younger kids, and sometimes at certain areas they, you know, after 20 years that, you know, people are growing up, and then you've got to wait for a whole new generation to come back into that area before maybe football can grow at the lower levels in those areas as well. But it is important, you know, that we set standards in the AFL that's got to be adhered to by other competitions as well, because everyone's looking up to the AFL. Everyone. I mean, my little grandkids who follow football, they watch everything that happens in the AFL. And if they see a player go up and jump up and knock someone down, that's what they think, that's okay. Unless you can then explain to them, well, it's not okay because you get rubbed out for doing that.
Well, and I think, look, you've smashed Robbo. I'll stand up for him in another example. He's talked about the comparison with Luke Hodge.
I'm disagreeing with Robbo. Okay. I'm not smashing him. He can have his opinion. I'm saying he got it wrong today.
Okay. Well, in this point, he makes a very good comparison. Luke Hodge is on 360 talking about, you know, publicising things and being the voice of reason and an inspirational Hawthorn captain. And then when he comes out and does something terrible, we need to send a message there that that's inappropriate. 3 weeks, very light. Just think that they should have taken a stand. And whether Mark Evans should have tapped them on the shoulder, I suppose it's gone to the tribunal by then, so it's hard to appeal, you know. But 4 weeks would have sent a very strong message that if you go up and you elbow someone in the head, an injury that could just absolutely be catastrophic, well, you pay the penalty. I don't think he paid the penalty.
Remember that's the swimmer who swam for us at the Games?
Yes, Nick Darcy.
Nick Darcy, who elbowed the other swimmer. Was it Crowley? Was his name Crowley?
Yep. Simon Crowley,
In the head. I don't know Simon, but anyway, elbowed him in the head at that party or dance or nightclub they're at. Done an enormous amount of damage to that poor boy. We'll take a break. The Buzzers join us. Also coming up, Ian Robson's going to join us from Melbourne Victory, and we've got a couple of tickets to give away to that big final when they take on the City as well on Friday night. So if you want to join us and talk about Victory taking on City, 9429 1116. Sean Graff will join us. Lots happening in Victorian cricket. Get something off your chest. And also Brian Waldron, the Business of Sport, taking your calls after 11 o'clock as well. I notice the Breast Cancer Network Australia game is coming up for Melbourne. This is a fantastic game, and the Melbourne Football Club do this so well. And this year, of course, they've got the pink jumpers again, and also got the names of the mums of the players on the back of the jumper as well. This is one of those theme games that I think really works,
and the
community gets right behind.
And we have the 10 or 15,000 women on the MCG every couple of years, but they say you can't do it every year. So to be able to do this, it's just a beautiful switch up. Like, gee, they do it well. Plaudits to Melbourne. The couple of stars they've got there in Vandenberg and Brayshaw who were advertising it, both of those blokes going so well.
We'll speak soon.
See you tomorrow.
Johnny Ralph, the buzz, as we wave him goodbye. Coming up, Robbo's going to join us in. Robson from Melbourne Victory, the CEO.